May 14th, 2020. Yesterday, a top World Health Organization official said that this virus might never go away. Health officials continue to urge everyone to wear masks as people start to go out in public more often. Scientists are currently studying the antibodies in those who already had COVID-19 to see how long their immunity lasts. Some congressional representatives are pushing for another stimulus package, but have been met with fierce opposition. 1,382,304 COVID cases in the United States, 78,343 COVID deaths.
This is how we walk on the moon. This is how we walk on the moon.
Hi, I'm Eric Love. Welcome to Portraits of the Pandemic, Week 8. How are you?
Honestly, a little bit okay.
Surprisingly, I think I'm actually back to how I was at the start of quarantine. I had this period of slight depression and hopelessness, and then I didn't. I'm sure there will be some point in the near future at which I'll remember everything that I've lost and everything that was but isn't going to happen, and I'll be devastated all over again. I hope that isn't soon.
All of this quarantine stuff is really hitting me hard this week. It's not something we're just gonna magically come out of. It's affecting our entire summer, next school year, and could have an impact on the rest of our lives. I think I've just been denying its severity to protect myself.
Now that I don't go to school, play sports, or go to theater rehearsals, I seem to ignore my friends. My iPad blows up with texts. You want to FaceTime? I think I'm busy right now, sorry. So I just stay in my room and binge watch Netflix, not even coming in contact with my family. I guess when I'm not forced to interact with other humans, we drift apart, slowly floating farther and farther away.
I have an interview next week for a job at Hannaford's, and I guess I'm actually sort of excited to work, even if it is just stocking shelves.
I have moments where I am happy about quarantine because I get to spend more time with my family. Sometimes I question how much things actually have to change when this is all over.
I'm pretty good. I'm certain that the reason for my good mood is listening to podcasts. They've become all that's interesting in my life. I listen until late at night, while getting up and making breakfast, and whenever I can take a break throughout the day.
Just holding myself together amidst a global crisis is an achievement all its own. Maybe I got nothing done in a day, but there are 10,000 tomorrows.
Here are some stories from the week.
I get out a lot of aggravation during late night acting sessions in my room. Turn on a good acting song, turn on some dim ambient lighting, and act it up. Use that pent up emotion, maybe even fake cry. Or is it fake? You'll never know. I don't even know. Sometimes, on especially crazy nights, I will put on an entire concert for the stuffed animals on my bed. I'm talking an hour and a half long, all kinds of music, and a costume change. You think I'm kidding? I'm not.
Even though the presence of art in my life is different, creativity molds to its container. My new stages are a basement practice room and cloth canvases for late night painting. I was scared of losing a bit of myself by not getting to do what I love with a community I so cherish. But I've learned that art never really leaves us. The skills I'm learning now will be tools for my future. And the empathy, strength, and patience I'm practicing will always be a part of who I am.
On Saturday night, as I lay in bed, I needed a hug. Not just any hug, a friend hug. I'd gotten lots of mom hugs and dad hugs, but I missed that kind of hug that says, "I don't know any more than you do, but we're in this together." I felt incurably lonely, and it was like a pit just opened up in my soul. I started crying, not a lovely, dramatic nighttime cry, but one of those messy ones where it's just pouring out of you and clogging your nose, and you know that no matter how much you let it out, it's not going to make you feel better.
My family finally finished playing a board game called Betrayal at the House on the Hill. We've been playing for almost a year now. It's the legacy version, where the plot evolves as you play it, so cards get written on, pieces of the game are added and destroyed, and the final product is unique. I am still a wee bit shaken by the ending. Almost a year of gameplay, and we lost. Despite having only lost two rounds prior, losing the final chapter meant that we lost the whole game. But it was a satisfying ending. I began quarantine confidently. I'm used to solitude from years of shyness and awkwardness. But as days and nights came and went, I found myself more and more unhappy. I missed my friends, my castmates, and everyone I went to see in rehearsal. I asked myself why I was feeling this way when I've always been an introvert and loner. The answer came simply: I was never an introvert and loner. I spent an adolescence so used to loneliness that I convinced myself I liked it that way. I discovered community acting in Legally Blonde, Grease, and Frozen, and realized too late that I'd always needed it. I need friends and family, community, and creativity to be happy. I never truly understood who I was and where my place in the world was until quarantine pulled me out of it. When the world returns to normalcy and we all snap back into place, I'll know to treasure what I have before it's gone. And I'll feel my own happiness tenfold for it.
My quarantine theme song is one I play on the piano, Chopin's Prelude in B minor. It's a lonely, sad piece, but it's not angry. It's resigned to its fate, and it just keeps flowing onwards. There are some joyful moments, but it always returns to the same sad melody. At the end, it fades away, leaving the echo of a melancholy chord. This song reflects exactly how I feel right now. Loneliness is a B minor chord, and quarantine the gentle but all-controlling fingers that play it on the piano of my soul.
As Portraits of the Pandemic comes to an end and we get ready to put this project to bed, I'm in a reflective mood. I like to take stock at the end of the day when it's peaceful and quiet. What do you think about before you go to sleep?
Before quarantine, while going to sleep, I used to think about what outfit I was going to wear the next day, wonder about what scene we were going to rehearse, or even think about what I was going to try to say to my crush at school. Now that we are into the second month of quarantine, my thoughts have been wandering to other things, such as, how long will this quarantine last? When is the next time I'll actually get to see and hug one of my friends? Hoping that my Nana and Pop-Up are staying safe, and wishing that nobody in my family catches this virus. There's also this boy named Theo. He's really cute. I think about him too.
When I'm in my bed, I think about the times I spend in my bed thinking thoughts. It's oddly relaxing.
I used to reflect on my day as I fell asleep. But now I feel like it doesn't matter what happened during my day, because it is always the same. I'm usually just waiting for the day to be over.
My bed has always been a place where my deepest, darkest thoughts and emotions rush out and freely gallivant through my brain. It also houses all of my creative ideas. Here there be dragons, centaurs, cats, brave heroines, moody teenage boys, old wizards, beloved siblings, and unusual magic coming alive within the soul of the girl under the covers.
Before I fall asleep, I apologize for my mistakes. When I apologize, it feels like weight is being lifted off my shoulders. But who do I talk to? I like to think that I'm talking to all my relatives in heaven, to keep in touch and let them know how I'm doing.
When I'm lying in my bed, surrounded by the pensive darkness and silence of my room, I think about tomorrow. Considering the future propels me forward in a repetitive world.
I think, what would I have done today if the coronavirus didn't exist? I would be writing my speech for the honors banquet. I'd be having my spring chorus concert. I'd be hugging my senior friends goodbye as they get ready to graduate.
Do you ever think about the effect you have on the world through other people? I ponder this before I go to bed. Some days I want to have more of an impact on the world, and other days I want to disappear altogether.
She would always tell herself she could do this. But when it got hard, she would lose her focus. So take a deep breath and it'll be just fine. Sometimes it all gets a little too much. But you gotta realize that soon the fog will clear up. And it will be okay.
And you don't have to be afraid, because we're all the same. And we know that sometimes it all gets a little too much.
What have you learned about yourself during these first 8 weeks of the pandemic?
I learned that I'm a morning person when I get enough sleep.
I learned how unbelievably much I can sleep in a day.
I learned I love school.
I never appreciated the value of education, of hard work, of a teacher.
I enjoy being around people.
I really am an extrovert, but I can be my own energy source.
Although I'm an introvert and draw my energy from being alone, I need to expel that energy into the outside world.
Nothing makes up for real human interaction.
I only like alone time in moderation.
If I actually put effort into what I love, I can accomplish something great.
I learned how many snacks I can eat.
I can't go 15 minutes without eating.
I can have control over my snacking habits.
I love cooking for my family, even if it tastes awful.
I love to plan things, but it's okay to not always follow the plan.
I thought I was a major pessimist, but I learned that I actually have a great deal of hope.
I learned that I'm tough.
Life isn't all smiley faces, and that's okay.
I learned how rewarding taking care of myself could be.
I am responsible for my own happiness.
When our writing concluded at the end of these 8 weeks, a lot had changed in ourselves and in the world. But this was just the beginning. 2 weeks later, the United States surpassed 100,000 COVID deaths. 3 weeks later, George Floyd was murdered, inciting Black Lives Matter protests across the nation. 5 weeks later, 20 million Americans were out of work with a national unemployment rate of 11%. 9 weeks later, Vermont became the first state to go 30 days without a COVID death, the only state in the country in 2020. 10 weeks later, the second wave of COVID cases peaked in the United States. 20 weeks later, President Trump tested positive for COVID-19. 24 weeks later, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were elected President and Vice President of the United States. 30 weeks later, the Pfizer and Moderna coronavirus vaccines were approved for use in the U.S.
Every step is moving me up. Moving, it's moving me up. Every step is moving me up. Moving, moving me up. Each tiny, tiny move is all I need and I jump over. Every step is moving me up.
When the pandemic came, I was on the cusp of change. Just about to graduate, travel, and attend college. Pressing pause right on a cliffhanger is entirely unsatisfying and infuriating, but it's also perfect. This is a chance for me to examine and reconsider things and people that I would have otherwise left behind and forgotten forever.
When quarantine ends, I will sit in a room full of real live people talking and just enjoy the beauty of human connection.
There have been up days and down days in the 8 weeks portraits has occurred. I can't say I'm the happiest I've been by the end of week 8, but I'm getting better. I'll remember these days. Not only quarantine, but these first 8 weeks with portraits, long after they're over.
Years from now, we can tell our loved ones how we wrote a few pieces of truth every week.
Tuesday night was starry, and that got me thinking. Stars create constellations. So they are alone, but still connected. We are all alone, but alone together.
Hold on to me as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road. And although this wave is stringing us along, just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
Portraits of the Pandemic is a Northern Stage production. Written and performed by
Isabel Ackerman,
Skylar Alexander,
Shane Boucher,
Mia Cacavaro,
Emma Kranich,
Tessa Cullen,
Cordelia Duran,
Hayden Eric,
Ella Falcone,
Nora Falcone,
Meredith Feldy,
Anna Flaherty,
Samantha Gibbs,
Leah Hammond,
Eli Hoffer,
Erica Holmes,
Alex Hoyt.
Lily Kendall-Bergstresser.
Devin Knudsen.
Gunnar Langus.
Keenan Luthauser.
Hannah Malin Stremla.
Danny Mello.
Flynn Marino.
Renee Nolan.
Megan O'Mara.
Finn Powers.
Eva Rue.
Julie Sentman.
Maya Small.
Emmett Smith.
Skylar Spiro.
Olivia Swayze.
And Hugh Wendling.
Portraits of the Pandemic was directed by Eric Love. Sound and production design by Alec Diva. Script editing by Eric Love, Jackie Paja, and Kerrigan Quinneman. Our script assistant is Jackie Byrne. Our sound engineer is Cliff Rogers. Our production manager on this project is Helen Rooker. Northern Stage's managing director is Irene Green, and our producing artistic director is Carol Dunn. Portraits of the Pandemic was supported by the Helen Gurley Brown Foundation. For more information and to meet the cast, visit us at northernstage.org. Thank you for joining us. The